write a shtashikra, you have to write a specific text. You can't just write Hareyat Muteris L'Choladom, that she's about to marry a Jewish man. He has to say Hareyat L'Atzmech, Hareyat M'Shuchreres. The Gemara on Pehei Mebeis tells you what text is acceptable for shtashikra, what text is acceptable for a Getisha. So the Mishnah has a chiddush in Maseches Peah that even though you write to the Eviknani Kol Nachas Aknuim B'chav B'matana, it's a loshen of Aknuas Mamin. You want a loshen of Shichrur. So since the Eviknani is included in my asset, so that includes also, it's a Shtar Shichrur on the Eviknani, and it includes also all of the other Nachasim. Even though Ein Kinyan Le'Evit below Rabba, so we say Boin Kiechod on all the other Nachasim also. The chiddush on top of the chiddush. The Gemara says later, how does any shtar shichur ever work? You should say that mashikon evikon a rabba, when the yodin gives the shtar shichur to the hand of the evit, it's considered as if the yodin takes it from his right hand, puts it in his own left hand. The shtar shichur never left the rishus of the yodin. So the Gemara says a chiddush. Every shtar shichur works based on the principle of gita v'yada boin kechad. The one could have argued the point and said gita v'yada boin kechad. That Torah has to enable him to accept the shtar shichur, but to say that Torah enables him to accept the shtar shichur and agav the shichur, he gets all the other property as well. That's a chiddush on top of a chiddush. The Mishnah says it. Okay, that's given. That's a Mishnah and Peah. So now the Gemara has a discussion. Do you say pagin and dibur? What does it mean pagin and dibur? The Pashta says it has nothing to do with the other sugya pagin and dibur, the famous sugya in Sahed and Daftez that the Rad on the Rif quotes over here. It's totally unrelated. Pagin and Dibura means the way the Tosis learns the Gemara in Tesim and Aleph. You're using the Lashon Kol Nechasa Kenun V'Chav Matana, and it only boils down to one thing. You mean the Eved Kaini, that's all. So is that acceptable? That's an acceptable Nusach for Shtar Shichur. I can understand if Agav all the other Nechasim, he gets Shichur as well, and there are other Nechasim as well. So the Nusach of Kol Nechasa Kenun V'Chav Matana is acceptable to serve as a shichur, but if it turns out that's all he's giving him, he doesn't have any other assets. The only asset that he's giving him is his own shichur. So is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? So that's what the Gemara says. Yes, that it is acceptable. That the loshen kol nachas ikrim b'chav matan is an acceptable loshen. So where do you have a case where the nusach of the shtar shichur is kol nachas ikrim b'chav matan? And it boils down only to one thing. It only refers to the Shichur Eviknani. What do you have a case? The first case that the Gemara has is not exactly fair. That's not exactly the same as we set it up. The first case is that the Shtar Shichur really goes on Kol Nechosav. It's a Shtar Matana from Choshen Mishpat on Kol Nechosav. And it's a Shtar Shichur from Yerideya for the Shichur Eviknani. But the only thing is, when the Eved comes to collect the Shana Chosim, so the Bezdin is going to Shaloi Bifnei HaAdon, the Adon is away in New Zealand, whatever. So the Bezdin will say Tainina Mizuyev, because otherwise Lo Shavkes Chai L'Chol Beriyah. Maybe whatever the Adon will go on vacation, so whenever anybody will go on vacation, so all the Ganobim will come and forge Doris, and they'll say we want to take away his house. So the Bezdin has to Tainina Mizuyev on that. But when you get to the Shichur of the Evikanayini, then we don't tie the Mizuyev. Just like Mishum Miguna Kila Berabbanon. So Tosha said on the first half, you don't tie the Mizuyev. So too on the Evikanayini also. What's the Igun by the Evikanayini? It's not Igun. We want him to become Jewish. We want him to become Chai B'mitz. We want him to get married to a normal girl and have a family and so on. Everything should, he should have a normal life. Being an Evikanayini is not a normal life. So we understand the din that the Bezdin doesn't tie the mezuyah vis-a-vis the shichur aspect of the shtar, but they will tie the mezuyah vis-a-vis the mamonis aspect of the shtar. So the Gemara considers this a case where the nusach of kol nechas kol nechav matana only applies to the shichur. It's not exactly true. It really applies to everything, but we tie the mezuyah on everything else. When they get to the Eviknani, we don't tie the mezuyah. So it's not exactly the same. On Tesam and Aleph, the Gemara gives you a case where mamish only the text of Kol Nechas Kol Nechav Matana only goes on the Shichur. What's the case on Tesan and Alf that it only goes on Shichur? So Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam say the case is like this, the way they read the Gemara. He writes Kol Nechas Kol Nechav Matana Chutz Midover Echod, and he doesn't say which Dover Echod. So because he doesn't say which Dover Echod, So he's not kind of anything. He writes, kol chutz misode achas. Let's say he writes, chutz misode achas, and he doesn't write which sode yet, which sode no. So Rashi in the Rif and the Rambam line, he gets no sode. Sure. He gets no sode. So that's what Tosfos in the Ra, and he asked Kashis, why should he get no sode? He should really get all the sodas, and Amoitze Mechavera, all of Haraya, since the Odon reserved the right to retain Chutz Misoda Achas, reserved the right to retain one soda, and the Odon starts off as being Muchzakan, all the sodas, he owns everything, so we'll treat the Odon as the Muchzok, so we'll say Amoitze Mechavera, all of Haraya. So the Odon has a right to pick whichever soda he wants. He can pick the most expensive, the biggest soda, the most valuable soda, the most desirous soda. But to say that the Eved is left with nothing, why should it be left with nothing? So that's what the Ran quotes Beferishi Gemaris. Tosis quotes a Gemara from Bava Basra. Chatz yisod ani moichaloch, I'm selling you a half of the field. So which half of the field is he selling him? The northern half or the southern half or the eastern half? You can divide it in different ways. So it says, Hamotzi machaber olof harayah. What does it say there? Lokeach. Notel kochush. Yad balash tar ala tachtaina. The one who's giving, the balash tar is the one who receives the shtar. Das hanaschar is the one who wrote the shtar. So the one who wrote the shtar owns all the field, the whole field now. And he's giving half a field to the other one. Half the field should be yours and half the field should be mine. And he didn't designate which half. So he said, Amoetz machar alef haraya in favor of the muchzok. The noisen hamatana is the muchzok over here. So he has the right to pick the better field. But the other guy, even though it's not clear which half, he does get half of the field. Or the Rad on the Rif quoted a Gemara in the end of Menachos, where the Gemara says, "Ba'is bein batai ani mechaloch." I have many homes all over the world. I sell you one of my many homes, and he doesn't designate which continent, which home. He has many homes on many continents. Sode bein sadosi ani mechaloch. Evid bein avodai, short bein shvarai ani mechaloch. So it says, Yad Balashtar ala tachtaino, that Amoitz Machaber of Haraya, I can stick you with the least valuable, but you still get something, even though it's unclear, you still get something. The Pashta says that Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam mean to say that it's no good because I'm Brera. There is a Machlaikis Tatanoim later in the third Perik, Machlaikis, and other Mesichtas, many other Mesichtas, but they say, Yesh Brera, Reim Brera. What does it mean, Yesh Brera, Reim Brera? A person wants to create a chalos on something, and it'll be misbarer. The nature of the chalos will only be misbarer at some later time. He wants the chalos to take effect today, and today, when the chalos is supposed to be taking effect, we don't know, we don't understand the nature of the chalos. The original example is the Mishnah in the beginning of the third period. Man has two wives, and he tells the sofer he can't afford to keep the two wives, he wants to divorce one of them. They both have the exact same name. So he tells the sofer, write a get for my wife, either the older wife or the younger wife, Rachel Bas Elio, and I'm going to give the get either to the older wife or to the younger wife. I'll take in the next month, I'll decide which one I'm going to divorce. So at the time that the get is written, it has to be written in Shema. So the sofer writes, I have in mind whichever wife the husband turns out to divorce later on. So that's not, there's a machlekes hatanayim, we pask him, that's not a valid tonight. That's not an acceptable tonight. Because the Lishma has to be chal now, and the nature of the get is not clear now. If the toss-up is whether yes or no, I give my wife a get and I say, if it snows tomorrow, the get should take effect today. If it doesn't snow tomorrow, the get should not take effect today. So that will determine whether yes or no. But if it'll be yes, we know already the nature of the chalos. The get is going to be chal today. But here we don't even know the nature of the get. The get is considered nichtav lishma now. And Lishma means that this is the beginning of the Gerishin. Beginning of which Gerishin? Beginning of the Gerishin for the Gdola, for the Ktana. He has an older wife and a younger wife. So since the nature of the Chalos is not yet determined at the time that it's supposed to be Chal, so that's what we pass Ganei and Breyer. So that's what some of the Rishonim assume, that must be the reason for Rashi, the Rif and the Rambam, that we pass Ganei and Breyer. If I sell you a field and it's not clear which field I'm selling you, so that shouldn't be kind of any field. But we have a practice that when we have to make a quick kinyan, the Ran quotes, when you make a shtar hashoah. Shtar hashoah means I authorize someone else to act on my behalf. I have no time, I'm sitting and learning. I'm a wealthy man and I lent money to 100 different people. And and I want to send a shliach, I'm going to salary the shliach to collect all the chayvus that everybody owes me. So if I just send a shliach and he's going to go knock on the door and going to say, the malva sent me as a shliach, so the leiva has a right to say, la bal dvarim didiyad. I don't owe you the money, go fly a kite. Don't bother me, you have no right to pester me. But if I make a harshah, I make a harshah means I'm makna the chov to the shaliach, so then he comes, he has a right to knock on the door and say, you owe me the money. Because the malva gave me over ownership of the money. When he gave him over ownership of the money, and after he collects the money, he can keep it. So one opinion in mind is yes, he can keep it. So I better pick a good friend that he shouldn't walk off with my money. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that the shaliach, even with the harshah, cannot keep it. So what is the harshah all about? Manashah. If I'm not makna the money to the shaliach, so the levi can say, don't bother me, la baldvarm de diat. I don't owe you the money. And if I am makna the money to the shaliach, so the shaliach should be able to keep it, and he doesn't have to give it back to me. So how come I can sue him in court? So the Gemara says, that's the din. So why is that the din? So the Ravid is quoted this in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. So there's a long Ramban on the Muhammad there. He quotes a big chunk from the Ravid, from the Kuntri Saharshah, that appears in the Sefer Tmim Deim by the Ravid. He doesn't tell you that he's quoting the Ravid. He quotes around 10 lines. Apparently it was plagiarism. They would have not allowed him to speak here in the yeshiva. So apparently everybody knew. The Ramban Chumash a lot of times quotes word for word from the Ravid. It doesn't tell you he's quoting from the Ravid. Apparently everybody knew that he's quoting from the Ravid. He doesn't have to bother to say he's quoting from the Ravid. If it's Yadua, so there's no Issa plagiarism. Okay. So the Ramban and the Ravid say this is a combination. It's considered a haknoas hachov, the malviz makna the chov to the shaliach with respect to the lova. So the lova shouldn't be able to say la baldvarm de diyat. But it's not considered a haknoa vis-a-vis the malva. So how can you split like that? So the Ravid admits it's only an invention of the Rabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, there just ain't no such thing. It doesn't exist. But the Rabbanim made such a takon. So how, pray tell, do you makna the chov to the shaliach? How is the malva makna the chov to the shaliach? So the Gemara says, agav karka. What if the malva doesn't have any karka? So how can it be makna agav karka? So the Rishonim, the Gaonim say, makna agav dalanamas and Eretz Yisrael. Everybody has dalanamas and Eretz Yisrael. Which dalanamas and Eretz Yisrael? We don't know yet. As Moshiach Bet Kumin will divide Eretz Yisrael. So if it turns out that I'm a descendant of a ger, so the ger not lechelik baretz, I ain't going to get nothing in Eretz Yisrael. If it'll turn out I'm not a descendant of a ger, if I'm from Shevet Levi, also I'm going to get nothing. If I'm not, you'll get the Mem Chesori Halvim. Okay, we'll get something. Mem Chesori Halvim. So if whoever I am, I'll get something in Eretz Yisrael. So even though right now, when I'm makne the chov to the shaliach, that he should be able to pester the loiva to insist that he should pay back the money, that the loiva shouldn't be able to say la baldram de diat, when I'm makne agav karka in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know where the karka is. None of us know. Mashiach comes, we'll divide Eretz. It'll turn out that I have a share somewhere. But it's not yet determined where that share is. So that's what the Ran is Me'orer, this practice that the Goyim instituted, that you makna agav dalanamis bechatzeri, if I do have a chotzer. I just makna agav a vague dalanamis. I don't single out which dalanamis. Or if I don't have any real estate at all, so I makna agav dalanamis bechatzeri. So we assume that everybody has a share in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody yarshined a little bit of Eretz Yisrael, so you don't know where the Dalaram sauce. It's the Davashani Mavur. So the Ran raises the question about, according to Rashi, the Rif, and the Rambam, that should be Ein Breira. I should say that the Kinyan can take effect. So he says this is a Takana Sagonim, that even though strictly speaking it doesn't work, the whole Harshah doesn't make any sense. Limanav Shach, if I'm Makna the Chov to the Shaliach, he should be able to keep the money after he collects it. Elamai, I'm not Makna, he's only a Shaliach. So if he's only a Shaliach, so why can't the Levit tell him la baldram de diat? So we say it's a hybrid. This animal, this hybrid, is only a takana b'derabban. So that's what the Goyim say. Part of the takana b'derabban was he can be makna agav dalanam, even though the dalanam say the mavur, and strictly speaking, it shouldn't work. For the purpose of making our show, so we are makel. We say that it does work, and strictly speaking, it doesn't work. So this pshat, this suggested pshat, that it's no good because of Breira, This is what the Ran says. You can't say like that. What are you talking about? So the Farishing Gemara, Bais Ben Botay Ani Moichalach, Sada Ben Sados Ani Moichalach. So it says, Marlo Kachush. Says Hamoitz Machaver Olaf Haraya. I can stick you with the weakest field, with the least valuable house, but you do get something. Why isn't it a problem of Brera? Why shouldn't it be a problem of Brera? So Rab Shimon Shkop wrote a whole kuntras when Rab Shimon reached the age of 70. The Talmidim made him a birthday party, and they put out a Sefer HaYovel. He had been a Rebbe for 50 years. He started giving shurim at the age of 20. I think what they have in his biography was that he was learning in Balozhin, and a wealthy balabas wanted a shidduch for his daughter, and he wanted to support him for a few years. He should sit and learn to become a great Talmid Chacham. So they recommended Reb Shimon Shkop. And then after they got engaged, so the potential father-in-law, the future father-in-law, lost all of his wealth. There is such a thing. He lost all of his wealth. So Reb Shimon Shkop didn't back out from the shidduch. People thought that it was a very noble on his part. Everybody thought he was going to back out from the shidduch. So he felt, how can he do that? Bad enough that the poor man lost all of his money. Now he should lose the shidduch also. So he felt it's impossible to do that. So because he went through with the shidduch, so he said chasna Torah at the shidduch. So it happens that the girl's mother was a sister of Ablazer tells him. So he came to his niece's wedding. So he heard the chasna say, knock out shtickle Torah. So when he needed a rebbe and tells the yeshiva, so he asked his new nephew to come and say yeshiva and yeshiva. So the father-in-law wasn't supporting him. So he said, okay, he's looking for a job. So he started giving shurim at the age of 20. He gave knockout shurim. It was a big exciting thing when Rav Shimon Shkop used to give shir. He taught here in yeshiva for a year. But that was when he was an old beta man. That's after he retired already, so he was here in America, so he had nothing better to do. So he said, he's retired. So he gave shurim in yeshiva. Then he went back to Europe. So on the occasion of his 70th birthday, so the students told him that they're going to put out a Sefer HaYoyev. And then he had students, he had Talmidim learned by him for a span of 50 years. So all of the students from all the 50 years wrote essays about how they enjoyed the shiurim. So they had students that didn't know each other. Students from 50 years ago, students from 3 years ago. Students from all the 50 years, they put out. And then on the occasion when they put out this Sefer HaYoyev, Sir Reb Shimon Shkop also participated. So he wrote a whole long kuntras, Mareches HaKinyonim. So the Mareches HaKinyonim, it wasn't a surprise, it wasn't a secret. They told him what they're doing, and he participated in it, and he gave them a shtickle Torah. So the Mareches HaKinyonim starts off with the Tshuvas HaRashbo, who asks exactly this kasha. How come you don't say, by Bais Ben Botei Ani Moichaloch, the Ran quotes a Gemara in Menachos. If I sell you one of my homes, I have 100 homes on different continents, many different homes on different continents. I say, Bais Ben Botei Ani Moichaloch, so you kind of one of them, And I have the right hamotz machvel of haraya. I'm the noisen hamatana, or the malcher is the muchzak on all the homes. So I can stick you on the weakest home. So that's the kasha that the Rashba asks. Why don't you say ain't brave? You shouldn't be kind of anything. So the Nesivas quotes this kasha from the Tshuvas HaRashba, and the Nesivas gives an answer. Reb Shimon Shkop gives his own. Reb Shimon is very ethereal. Shimon is very abstract. So he gives some, but the Nesivas is down to earth. So the Nesivas gives a simple answer. The Nesivas says, there is a din, you can't make a kinyan on a dovah shalop oliyolim. If I'll sell you Peres Dekel, the Peres Dekel that are going to go on Shnas Tov Shin Ayin, so I didn't plant them yet. So you cannot make a kinyan on a dovah shalop oliyolim. What if I'll make a kinyan on the Dekel Lipe Roisov? The Dekel does exist. So if you own the Dekel, mimeli you own the Peres, Aroy Ashbach. So if I'll sell you the Dekel with respect to the Paris of Shnas Tav Shin Ayin. With respect to all other intents and purposes, the Dekel, the tree, belongs to me. I sell you the Dekel, I'm acting the Dekel with respect to the Paris that will grow Shnas Tav Shin Ayin. So that's a Gemara, that if you sell Dekel, the Paris of is good. If you sell Paris Dekel, the Dovish Lobolam, they didn't grow yet, but the Dekel is Bolam, so you can sell a Dovish Abolion with respect to a Dovish Lobolion. So that's what the Nesivis says, the Teretz is over here. I cannot make a chalois on a dovishein and mavura. But this is mavura. I own 100 homes in 100 different locations on the globe. So that's a dovish mavura. So I'm makna all of the 100 homes with respect to you walking off with one home. Ba'is bein batai, ani moichaloch. I'm makna all of the batim, that's a dovish mavura. Amakna all about them with respect to. So little and not exactly the same. Peiris dekel. He owned the dekel and Aroy Ashbach, so that's why. So that's why Rav Shemeshkov doesn't like it. So he had a right, he had to give a different suggestion to answer the kasha of the Rashba. But that's the teretz that the Nesiv is good. That's the Rav Soloveitchik is down teretz. So he learned like the Nesivis. That's the teretz of the kasha, and then he went further to discuss other cases like that. And Rav Shemeshkov didn't like the Nesivis, so he gave a long dissertation. He gave a long ethereal explanation. But this is the famous kasha that they ask. That if the Rashi, Rif, and the Rama meant to say, Ein Breire, isn't it contradicted from the Gemara in the Yendem and Ochas? Bayis mein bota ani moichaloch. So he is kind of one bias. The only thing is, Hamotzim Machavel of Arai, Yad Balash Tarah Latachtan, you get stuck with the least valuable one. How's Rashi going to answer the Kasha? So the Pnei Yeshua has a famous suggestion, but he admits himself that he doesn't think it's true. It's a Harifist, but he says, you look in the Ramam and the Shulchan Aruch, they don't say what I'm putting in there, the words that I'm putting into their mouth. He wants to say a suggestion. That Gemara in the Yenda Menachos that the Ran quoted, Bayis Ben Boti Ani Moichaloch, Sada Ben Sadoisa Ani Moichaloch, that the Kinyan is Chal, that's good if you make a Kinyan Kesef, if you make a Kinyan Chalipin, if you make a Kinyan, some kind of another Kinyan. But if you make a Kinyan Shtar, so Shtar, you have to be able to describe the Karka. So if you just wrote Bayis Ben Boti Ani Moichaloch and it's not Mavur, it's not because, no problem of Breira. No problem of Breira. He doesn't go into it, why it's not. However, you'll answer that question, why there's no problem of Breira. It'll like the Nesivis or Abshimishkov, but give a better answer. Whatever the answer is, there's no issue of Breira. But it's a different issue. Kinyan Shtar, the Gemara says, Metaltale Labene Mevich Torininu. That's the Lashon HaGemara in Bava Basra. The Kinyan Shtar doesn't work on Metaltalin. But the Gemara doesn't just say simply, Shtar doesn't work on Metaltalin. The Gemara writes, Metaltale Labene Mevich Torininu. They don't lend themselves to Shtar. What kind of a funny expression is that? So the Pashto says that you can't really describe what I'm going to write. I'm makna to you the shas that belongs to me. It happens that it doesn't belong to me. But let's say it would belong to me. I'm makna the shas that belongs to me that's on the table. What shas on the table? If you're looking on the table, so you see what shas it is. Well, you look in the shtar, that description doesn't describe the shas. There's shasin all over the world. That doesn't help. If it's a Mona Lisa, there's only one in the whole wide world. Maybe then shtar would work on the metalplin. But usually you don't have a Mona Lisa. You don't have a collector's item. The Rambam's original manuscript of the Mishnah Torah, and there's only one in the whole wide world. Author's original copy. Okay, so if you can describe something that's metalfalim in a shtar, so maybe then shtar would work on metalfalim. But usually we assume metalfalim labanim evit shtar nini because you can't describe the metalfalim. So if you're going to say, bayis bein batei ani moichaloch, and you're going to sell it b'shtar, our Gemara is talking about a shtar. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua has a harifis. Maybe that's what Rashi meant to say, Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam, that all the kinyonim will work. The Gemara itself, Menachos, is talking, Medi kinyin kes, Medi kinyin chalipin. All the kinyonim do work. And there's no problem of Breira for some reason or another, whatever the explanation is. But Rashi meant to say, if you're going to make a kinyin shtar, and it's not, you didn't describe clearly in the shtar which karka you're talking about. So that's a nuchi sort. Shtar is no good on karka if it's not clear from the shtar which karka you're talking about. But then the Pnei Yeshua writes, he admits himself, you look in the Rama, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds pretty clearly that that's not what they're trying to say. So what are they trying to say? So what did the Rambam say? What did the Rambam say? So you look in the Or Sameach just points out, you look in the Rambam says what he said. Rambam puts it together with the din of Asmachta. The Rambam has a totally different sheet than what we have a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra, whether Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Lo Kanya. What does it mean, Asmachta? Asmachta means a person makes a kinyan ala Tanai thinking that the never will come Lidei Kiyam Atanai. Let's say he's learning Becharusa, and he comes late, the first day, the second day, the third day, the Chavrusa says, I'm going to dump you. You come a half an hour late every day. I'm going to get a different Chavrusa. So he promises him, he makes a Kabbalah skin, he says, don't dump me. I'm going to come on time. If I come late tomorrow, I obligate myself to give you $1,000. If I come half an hour late, if I come 5 minutes late tomorrow, I owe you $1,000. So it's a Kenyan, he makes a Kenyan suitor. The Chavrusa gives him a handkerchief, and I say, by accepting the handkerchief, I agree to pay you $1,000. In the event that I come late tomorrow. did he really mean to give him $1,000? He meant, don't dump me. He said, please, have rachmanis, don't switch chabrusas on me. So it's a hischaivas halatanai, where there's an umdar in the muchach, that the person thought it's not going to happen because he controls the situation. He thought, I don't want to lose my chavrus, I'm going to come on time. Then tomorrow he comes again late. So that's that case would be a machlekes hatanoim. That's called asmachta. And we pass an asmachta lokanya machlekes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. And some machlekes in the Gemara, Bob Metzia, machlekes amarayim, how to paskin. We seem to paskin, the Pashta says, we paskin asmachta lokanya.
That's only where the Tanai is. That's only where the Tanai is, not where the Maisa itself is unreasonable?
No, the Tanai is not unreasonable. His Chaivus is unreasonable. Guzma, the Gemara says, if it's a Guzma, if he says, if I come late tomorrow, I'll give you $5. $5 is Schar Batov. As Mavatlis time, he wasted half an hour. But I say, if I come late, I'll give you $1,000. So the Gemara says, if you make a Guzma, he made a hischaivus ala tanai, where there's an umdir in the muchach that he thought there isn't going to come li dekiyam at tanai. He thought, I'm going to control it. I'm going to see to it that I show up on time. And there's a guzma here. It's unreasonable.
But you're saying that's only
so
when
a person
guzma
has a right to accept an unreasonable hischaivus in the middle of nowhere. I don't know who you are. I accept the obligation. Give you $100,000. Why?
That's kind? When I make a hischaivus, that's a guzma? That's kind?
Yeah, that's good. In secular law, the government in America doesn't recognize it, but the halacha recognizes, yeah. The secular government here doesn't recognize a hischaivus, that's not an exchange for something. But the halacha says you can. You can hischaiv yourself $1,000,000 for no good reason whatsoever. But if it's ala tanai, and there's an umdin in the muchach that he thought that it's not never going to happen, it's not going to come to fruition because he has control over it, biyado, and he's going to see to it that it doesn't happen. What's going to see? Because he's going to lose his chavrusa. There's a reason why over here. And it's an unreasonable amount of money. It's a guzma. So then that's called asmachta. And asmachta lo kanya. So that's what we usually assume is asmachta.
Doesn't the fact that he makes a kinyan so the show das from that is, why would he make a kinyan if he was not if it was lashem guzma?
That's the other Tana holds like that. The machlokes are Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. The other Tana argues, we pask him that asmachta lo kanya. Even though he made a kinyan, unless he made a kinyan b'fnei bez nechoshuv. If Karim Yodah b'fnei bez nechashuv, so then that shows that he has a full gemira's das. What did he waste everybody's time for? That's what Tanoim is all about. Classically, they used to have the practice of Tanoim by both Ashkenazim and Sfardim. All over the world they had such a practice. The boy and the girl would get engaged at one time, and then they would make a hischaivus moment that they're not going to back out from the shidduch. And they would say, in the event that I back out from the shidduch, I accept, usually the boy's father and the girl's father, if they back out from the shidduch, they accept upon themselves a penalty of $20,000 because of the humiliation of the other party. But he really meant to obligate himself $20,000? No, they're lovey-dovey. They don't think that anyone is going to back out now. So that's a kasha that all of Rishonim ask, the Tosfos and the Rambam, all of Rishonim ask, isn't that Eschaivus ala tanai, where there's an umdir in the muchach that he thought it's not never going to happen. There's never going to be a kima tanai. So the whole tanai should be a fake. I should say that it's not chal. And this was the practice all over the world. So they give different terutzim. So some Rishonim Tosfos in some places says it's not a guzma because you're paying $20,000 for humiliating the other party. You're backing out from the shidduch. So that's not considered a guzma. Even though, strictly speaking, boshes dvarim you're not chayiv for. If I humiliate, if I slap you in public, and I humiliated you by touching you, so then the achayiv chamisha dvarim. Nezik tzari pishav is boshes, and if there's only boshes, I only pay boshes. But if I don't slap you, I curse you, and I scream, and I humiliate you by talking, so the Mishnah calls that boshes dvarim. So boshes dvarim is like gromam and izik, that you put. But even though you put, the bezdin won't make you pay, but some rishonim say you can't call out a guzma. The humiliation is worth $20,000. The girl's going to find it very difficult not to get a shidduch because the boy backed out from the engagement. So it's harder for a girl to find a shidduch after someone backed out from an engagement. So that's what some Bali Ataisis say, that the reason why we don't apply the principle of asmachta lakanya to every case of tanaim is because it's not a guzma, because he's paying for the embarrassment. And whenever there's no guzma, whenever you're paying to correspond to the hefzit, so then there's no guzma, so then you achai. Other Bali Ataisis say that b'noyik shaboyim, the common practice is that when a couple gets engaged and they make a tanoim, so they used to invite the whole city. We don't do that anymore. We don't invite the whole city. They used to have cities, but they only had 4 families, 10 families. That was the whole city. The Crusaders wiped out many cities, but there weren't so many people living. They wiped out all the Jews that lived in all the cities. There were 10 Jews in this city, 10 Jews in that city. They didn't have millions of people. There weren't so many people, weren't so many Jewish people in the communities. Communities were very tiny at that time. So other Balei HaTosfos write, meaning was they used to invite everybody from the city to participate in the Tanoim. And since everybody was there, it was done in such a public fashion, so that has the status of Konam Imenu Bifnei Bez Nechoshuv. That shows how serious he was. He invited everybody to come. All the rabbis, all the balabatim, everybody was there. So how can he say later on, I didn't have das? No, that's like Konam Imenu Bifnei Bez Nechoshuv. Okay. Then he gave other terutzim on the kash. So that's why we usually assume that that's the definition of asmachta.
If the ksuba wasn't a government instead of money, would that be a problem with asmachta also?
I mean, the husband accepts a tosefes ksuba, yeah. way above.
It would be a question. Everyone at the chasana is considered.
It's a question. It should be a question of asmachta. If he just accepts upon himself an obligation to pay the girl. The ksuba that the Chachamim instituted for psula is Masayim Zuz, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, is the amount of money that a person needs to live for 1 year. That's why, is a person considered a noni that you're obligated to give him stokana? So the din is, if he has Masayim Zuz in his bank account, if he has enough money to live for 1 year, so then he's not called a noni. He has less than Masayim Zuz, so then he's considered a noni. Today it costs much more. Masayim Zuz is very insignificant. So today in our ksuba, it adds up to Masayim Zukuk in Kesef Tzorek, not way more than Masayim Zuz. Masayim Zuz we mentioned, but it's swallowed up by the larger amount of money. But still, the Masayim Zukuk and the German coins from the days of the Maril, from the 1400s. So even the Masayim Zukuk in Kesef Tzorek today still doesn't add up to what you need to live for a whole year. So if the husband obligates himself, if he says, if I divorce you, I pay you so much, and he writes the amount of money that it costs to live for a whole year, for 2 years. Okay, but if he writes, if I divorce you, I obligate myself to give you $10 million. And he's not such a multimillionaire, and the girl is not used to living in wealth like that, then there would be an issue of asmachta. You have to investigate. Maybe the whole ksuba will be asmachta. Maybe it won't. We'll have to figure it out. But then it would be an issue of asmachta.
Doesn't Tosfos ask a parakalpapi? Every chassan who's mechai himself doesn't have any money?
Tosfos, in the beginning of Afalpi, yes, the different kasha. They say it's a different kasha. Isn't it a davar shelo bali yarlam? If I have stacks of money and I say, I have $100,000, and I say, if I divorce you, I obligate myself to give you this $100,000 that I have. So that's a hischaivus, that's reasonable. But if the chosen learns an yeshiva, doesn't have a penny to his name, and he obligates himself, he says, if I divorce you, if and when I divorce you, I pay you $100,000, he doesn't have any $100,000. So why not consider that a davar shelo bali yarlam? That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos answers, he's Meshabin himself, his person. His person exists, he's a Dovish of Bodhiyon. He can be Meshabin himself. If he's Makne, $100,000 in cash, sacks of money, and he doesn't have the money, so you can't make a kinyan on a Dovish of Bodhiyon. But he's not Makne, sacks of money, he's Meshabin as Atzma. He does exist, so that's not a problem. So again, so there is an institution of Asmachta. And there's Machlekes HaTanoim, and we paskan Asmachta Lo Kanya, the end of Bava Basa Mishnah, it's in the middle of Bava Metziah, and Perkez El Neshech, different places in Shas. And we usually give the definition of Asmachta means a Kinyan ala Tanai, or Hischaivus ala Tanai, where there's an Umdir in the Muchach that the person thought that it's never going to come the day Kiyam HaTanai, and there's a Guzman. So he thought it's never going to happen. So we paskan an Umdir in the Muchach that he thought it's never going to happen is equivalent to an Umdir in the Muchach that he doesn't want the whole thing. The Rambam has an addition to that. The Rambam seems to have understood. The Vilna Gaon says that the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam's position is based on the Sefer Mekach HaMemkal Rav Haigoy. Okay, so he didn't invent it on his own, somebody before him. He got it from an earlier source. Right, kosher. He got this pshat from an earlier source. So the Rambam writes, if a man marries a woman who has children from a previous marriage, the first husband passed away, and she has children from a previous marriage, so the husband gives the wife a ksuba, and he says, not only will I support you, I will support your children, and when they get married, I will marry them off, like a regular father does. He's a stepfather. So the Mishnayos talk about this, and the end of the ksuba, the Gemara talks about this. a person is Meshabed Atzman Lozen is Basishtoi. So the Rambam says that that's called Asmachta and Asmachti. He says, we have a tradition from our Rabbeim that that's called Asmachta and Asmachta Lokai. And the Rabbi writes, we have a tradition that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Not so. The Rabbi always makes fun. When the Rambam says, we have a tradition, he says, I have a tradition that he's wrong. Okay. So the Rambam has that there's a whole different understanding. Everything's totally different than Asmachta. So when the Rambam is writing his whole story about Asmachta, a whole different understanding, so he throws in this kind of Asmachta also. If it's so unclear, if he says, Bayis ben bata yani moichalo, he says, I'm selling you a house. I have a lot of homes, I'm selling a house. At least you know what area we're talking about. Homes. Homes. They're $1 billion homes, then $1 million homes, then $50,000 home. Then it's a $30,000 house. Okay. So there are different kinds of homes. Okay. So he says, Bayis ben bata yani moichalo, I'm selling you a house. At least you know what. Soda ben sadoisa. So different kinds of fields. Some fields you plant potatoes, some fields you plant this, but at least you know what. If the guy says, I'm giving you all of my property, chutz mi soda achas. Chutz mi soda achas? What kind of a chutz mi soda achas? Is it a soda that you build on? Is it a soda that you that you plant in? Is it a soda that has a well in it, and you leave the, it's a source of water? Is it? Does it have an oil well there? Does it have a well of water? What kind of a soda? What in the world is this? Since you don't know bichlal, it's so einam avurar. Everything is so einam avurar. So the Rambam calls that asmachta. Like if a person, let's say I have a package, I have a gift wrapped up, and I say I'll sell you the gift for $10. What's inside could be it's just wrapping paper. Could be there's nothing inside. Could be it's empty air. Could be it's a peanut. Could be it's a diamond ring. Could be it's a watch. Could be it's a safer. You can't shake it. You can't tell what's inside. So what's a din? I sell you something for $10 and you don't know if there's anything in it or not. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma has such an expression. For the Gemara in Bava Kamma would appear that the sale is valid. So the Rambam writes beferish that it's not valid. If you don't know bichlal what you're buying, it's so eno yodua, it's so unclear, that's called asmachta lo kanya. Like the fellow who till she reaches the age of till she gets married, so he doesn't know how long he doesn't know how long it's going to take till she gets married. Not all the girls get married when they're 19. Some of the girls get married after the age of 30. So he doesn't know how long it's going to cost. He doesn't know how much. He doesn't know how many years. He doesn't know how much it's going to cost to support the girl. Is she going to like to wear a lot of dresses? Is going to have 100 dresses in her wardrobe, but she's going to have 10 dresses in the wardrobe. Doesn't know how much it's going to cost. So the Rambam says, whenever the thing is so vague, then it's called asmachta lokayim. So that's the Rambam is befamish like that. You know, Samer points out the Rambam is black on white. He puts this din when he quotes the Rif, who says same as Rashi over here. He puts it together with his whole version of asmachta that he got from the Gaonim, from the Sefer Mekach Hamemkel Rav Heitman. Okay, what do we have the next Mishnah? Ashchid Meira, Ashikos Kol Nechos. What's the din of Ashchid Meira? We usually have a din. Divrei Ashchid Meira, Kiksuvim Vechim Surin Domi. That's a Takonim of the Rabbana. That's a Takonim of the Rabbana. Yeah, if I want to give him a Takonim. Ashchid Meira means that he's sick in bed.
How does the Rambam benefit the Gemara in
Mimach? Right. So the Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam says, the Yosef Mech says, look in the Migdalois. He gives the right shot. Usually no one ever looks in the Migdalois. So here he says, look in the Migdalois. So the Migdalois says, same as the Magen Mishnah. If he says, Bais ben bote yani moichalach, so at least you know what you're talking about. You're talking about a home that people live in. You don't know which home. So at least you're in the right ballpark. Soda ben sodois ani moichalach, a soda is when you plant. You don't know, he's selling you a peanut plantation, or is he selling a potato field, or is he selling a field of wheat or corn on the cob, but at least it's a field. But if you say real estate, so real estate could be where there's oil, or where there's a river there, or where there's a plantation, or where there's real estate for building, or real estate for offices. So since you don't know bichlal, what the whole thing is all about, So that's no good. The Gemara in the end of Menachos, the Rambam quotes, the Gemara in the end of Menachos is talking, at least I know what area I'm holding by. Like I remember the first year I was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, we learned Pesachim. The second year we learned Kiddushin, right? So I remember Rabbi Mendel Zak used to be the Boichen here in the Yeshiva. So before the Bechina, I chazed with the students. So the Rebbe's told me that Dr. Belkin used to check on the Rebbe's whether they prepare or not, whether they give a good shiur, by having Rabbi Mendel Zaks give the Bechinas to the students. That's the way Rabbi Mendel Zaks would know whether the Rebbe was giving a good shiur or not. There was one Rebbe, he couldn't read a Tosfos. There was one Rebbe in the high school. He didn't know how to read Tosfos. So Rabbi Mendel Zaks used to ask the students Tosfos. They said, the Rebbe never taught us any Tosfos. So he would report to Dr. Belkin that the Rebbe never teaches any Tosfos. Okay. So I knew that my job may be on the line over here. I may lose my job if the students don't do well. So I had a chazer with the students for 2 weeks before the Bechina to make sure that they know all the answers. So comes the Bechina. Everybody said the wrong answers. I couldn't believe it. So after a whole week of Bechinas, Rabbi Mendel Zaks used to talk in Yiddish, and the students didn't understand Yiddish. So the Rebbe had to be there and he had to translate into English. And he had to translate the answers back. So after a week of sitting there with the students, everyone's giving the wrong answers. So Rabbi Mendel Zaks tells me he wants to take a walk with me. He wants to size up the situation. So he's walking up and down Amsterdam Avenue, and he says to me in Yiddish, he sees that I'm a very good Rebbe. So I thought he was being facetious, make fun. No one knew any of the answers right. Everybody said everything wrong. So I started to fumble, and I said, I said in Yiddish, I can't understand why they didn't know. I was reviewing them for 2 weeks. He says, no, he's not making fun of me. He really means it. He says, Eigentlich, look, they all go to college. So what do you expect? You can't expect that they should know how to learn. But he says in another class, if they ask what colors are Paraduma, so they'll say four. They ask how many of us Nizik, and they'll say red. He says, they don't even know whether you want a number, whether you want a color, whether you want a pasuk, whether you want a mishnah. So at least in my class, they knew the area where the answer was supposed to come at. They said the wrong number, the wrong color. Okay, but at least they knew which ballpark. Said in other classes, it's in Gansen, not in the right ballpark at all. Yeah. So that's what the Rambam has over here. The Rambam says, if it's in the right ballpark, so at least you know something about it. So that's not called Asmachta Lokanya. But if it's totally out, that's what the Migdal Ois writes. I'm selling you a karka, you don't know what kind of a karka. A karka that has office buildings, a karka that has residential area, a home with a karka for planting, a karka for oil wells, a karka for water, a karka for boating. So you don't know what it is, canyons. So if you don't know bechlau what it is, that's called asmachta lokan. But if you know at least in the right ballpark, so that's what it sounds like from the Ran also. The Ran makes that distinction on Danav. Usually the Ran and Magid Mishnah say the same thing. That's how they say, whenever the Ran says, the Chidor writes, whenever the Ran says Yesh Omrim, he's usually referring to the Magid Mishnah. Whenever the Magid Mishnah says Yesh Omrim, he's referring to the Ran. Supposedly they learned Becharus.
So if someone says, Kol Sedev Seifnein Lachachlich Misarechas,
to what? So Tyson says he's kind of everything except for one, and the one who's no saying, the one who's selling is the muhsik, and he has the right to pick which go to you and which he keeps.
Right.
According to Rashi, the Rif and the Ramam is not kind of anything.
No, when on the show,
if he says Sada. Okay, if it's clear,
so
what
the... So if you change the show notes, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Has to be that you know what ballpark it is. That's what the Ran says also here. The Ran says the same as the Magid Mishnah. And the Arsamech tells you to look in the Migdalois because he dramatizes it. He says because in real estate, you can have this kind of karka, and that kind of karka, and the other kind of karka, and the other kind of karka has six different kinds of karka. So he says that he refers it to the Migdalois. He says the same as the Magid Mishnah, but more Bahar Chove. Yeah, good. So we have a din matna shchiv mira kiksuvim v'chim sirin dami. That's a takana de rabbanon. But part of the matna shchiv mira is a din deraisa, that when a shchiv mira gives a matana, the Gemara says it's an umdine that he probably means on the condition that I die from the sickness. If he doesn't die, then it's self understood that it doesn't the deal doesn't go through. The regular takara de rabbanon davir hashchibir hakiksu v'chim surin domi. So that the Gemara says in the end of Bava Basra, that's kirushish of your rabbanon. So that for sure only takes place after he dies. Because man is alive, of course he can back out from the whole thing. Kirushish of your rabbanon. The Gemara says mandalesim and the yirusha leisim b'matan shchibirah. So that's a body can back out. But Rashi Shita later on in the Masechta is, let's say, a Shechid Merav gives a get to his wife. So Rashi holds, Imamat Chayzer, it's self-understood that if he survives the sickness, let's say a man is going in for surgery, he gives his wife a get, and he doesn't make any conditions. So he should really make all the conditions. If I don't survive, the get should take effect. If I do survive, the get should not take effect. He didn't make any conditions, just he's going in for surgery and he gives a get. So Rashi learns in the Gemara later that it's self-understood, it's muvan me'elav that such a get is ala tanai. Only ala tanai that he dies. If he survives, it's self-understood that he has a right to back out. Tosafot doesn't agree with Rashi, that's how Rashi knows. So Rashi goes, this is an umdida. So the Gemara has over here, what would the din be if a shechid meraz meshachar his evik naini? So it should also be the same as the get, according to Rashi. When you give a get to your wife, and you don't mention a word, you don't breathe a word about any tanai, so you assume that it's ala tanai. If I die, if I survive, the get will not take effect. So the same should be over here. If the shechid meraz freeing his evik naini, if he survives, he needs an evik naini to help him out in his business, to help him out at home. So why should he want to give away? Why should he feed the Evik 90? If he's going to die, he doesn't need the Evik 90. He can't take him with him. He's not going to take the Evik 90 with him. He doesn't need the Evik 90 to go be Yerusha Tishul. So the Pashtus, he should have said, that Shechid Mira was Meshachar and Evik 90, and Mama Tchayzer, he should be able to back out. So the Gemara says, no. Special exception to the rule, Shehari Yotza Olav Shem Ben Chorin. What kind of an explanation is that? Shehari Yotza Olav Shem Ben Chorin. But if on... Midirabbanan, he's Meshuchrar. Minatari, he's still there, Viknaini. And it's a Takana Midirabbanan that he's Meshuchrar. And he can marry a Jewish girl, Midirabbanan. Minatari, still there, Viknaini. Midirabbanan, he's a Ben Chorin. He can get an Aliyah, can be Mitzar from Tominion. It sounds funny. So Taisis Muchizach over here. Taisis works out over here. What's going on? Beinachayz B'yevid. What's going on? It's only Takana Midirabbanan. So Taisis says, people have in mind whatever the rabbis say. So if the rabbis say over here that if you're Meshachar and Evik Naini, the Tanai should not be valid, so that's what people want. People want to go along whatever the rabbis want. Okay, so we assume that Aget Shechid Meira maybe is assumed to be Allah Tanai, but the Shtash Shechar Evik Naini, the Shechid Meira is not assumed to be Allah Tanai, even if Omad is Eino Chayzer. Hurli Yotzal of Shein Ben Chayrin. They made a takana de rabbanon. That takana de rabbanon works on the level of the rice. Okay. What's the next Mishnah Tesamen Aleph? The Mishnah ends off with the line Zu achas min adrochim. This is one of the several halachas Shushabu gitei noshim the shechru yavodim. Sounds like there are dinim that they share in common. There are dinim that they don't share in common. This is one of the dinim that they do share in common. If it's exactly the same, so you don't have to say this is one of the several dinim, it's exactly the same. So you see that there are some dinim that yes, and some dinim that no. What are some of the dinim that no? Let's start from there. We have Gzera Shavu Lola Meisha. Fine, so it's the same. Yes. Yeah. What are some of the dinim that maybe no? So that's a big question about Tali Gittach Malgabi Karka. The Gemara has later on, the husband leaves the get on the table, and he tells the wife, if you wanna be divorced, let's say the husband wrote a get, and he leaves it in the drawer of his desk. And whenever his wife gives him a hard time, he says, whenever the wife is threatening that she's going to leave, so he says, it's right there, the get is there, take it, whenever you're interested. So one fine day, she finally takes the get and she walks off. So the Gemara says, it's no good. Teligitach Malgabi Karka is no good. The Baal has to do it in the Sinus HaGet. So that's a big Dion in Achrenim, that's a big Machlegis in Achrenim. Does the Psul of Teligitach Malgabi Karka carry over the Shtar Shichrur or not? Seem to be hoichachas from lines in the Rambam and a few places that it does not carry over to shtar shichra. That's on the level of the raisa, a difference between a get isha and a shtar shichra. Yeah. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara says the dinim deraisa, many dinim deraisa do carry over. The Shema, for sure. The Shema carries over. That says in many places. And then Mechuber, the simple reading of the Gemara is that that Mechuber is possible by a Shtar Shichur Avik Naini, Mechuber is possible by Shtar Kedushin also. That's a simple reading in the Gemara here. What does the Gemara say? What din do they not share in common? There is a takana de rabbanon that they made by get isha mishum iguna kila de rabbanon, which they did not institute by shtar shich rabbi knani. What's that takana de rabbanon? So the Gemara quotes a brisa here about 8 lines from the top of Tess on the base. Eidim sheinim yodim lachson. The eidim are illiterate. They don't know how to say. Is that called illiterate? I don't know. They don't know how to sign their names. So even though the Edom don't know how to sign on their own, so we got to help them sign. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you don't do such a thing. You only get Edom to sign. They know how to write on their own. Special kula baget, just in case the husband of Amshugana is about to leave to Indonesia for 5 years to do some sociological research, and he's going to leave his wife alone back in America. So we're standing there at the airport, and you need someone to sign the get, to give the get, and no one knows how to sign Hebrew, no one knows how to sign the name. So we made a kula, mishum igun akil b'rabbanon, mekarlem diyo cholok and amalem esakrim diyo. But if there'll be any other shtar, including a shtar shichar abiknani, we often treat the shtar shichar also as if it were the same level mishum igun akil b'rabbanon. That's why the Bezin doesn't tie in a mezuyif, shalai b'fanov, because we treat shichur evichnani also like an eagle, but to this extent not. But then when he sums up Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he sums up his word, whoa, likros. The Gemara says kriya man chashme. Where did kriya come in? The Brisa started off by the Tanakam, and the Brisa started Edim Shedim Yodim Lachzom. The Edim don't know how to sign the name. It doesn't say the Edim don't know how to read. So the Gemara says Chisure Mechzura. There's a line missing in the Brisa. The Brisa should say like this: if the Edim don't know how to read, so we can have two people read the get in their presence. Two kosher Edim will read the get, and then they'll be able to sign their name. Let's say they know how to sign, but they don't know how to read. They're going to sign their names in Hebrew or English, and the get is written in the other language. They don't know the other language, but they know how to sign. You can have the get written in one language and the chesim say them in another language. So if the Edom don't know how to sign, if the Edom don't know how to read, so there's a so get other Edom. If you can't get other Edom, you have a shas atchak, so there's a mishum igun akil berabbanon, that two Edom, two kosher Edom, can read it and tell them what it says, and they'll be able to sign. And then there's another kula, if the Edom don't know how to sign, so get other Edom who do know how to sign. So if it's a get Isha, Mishum Yigun Akil Barabon, if you can't get normal Edom, know how to sign, so we allow Bikar Lahem Yachola Kahin Chosman. So then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you should know that this is restricted only to get the Nashim Avalov Shukuri Avon. So that's the Shailas of what? What's the story by a Ksuba? The Edom have to read the Ksuba before they sign it. Many have the practice that the Edom do not read the Ksuba. So what's going on? So they say, well, it's based on the Gemara. Tosis here on Tess on the base quotes a Gemara from Daf Yutes. Korim lifneim v'choisnim. So Tosis says, not a problem of Edim p'eid. You need two Edim, two kosher Edim. Uboy shnayim korim. Two kosher Edim have to read what it says in the get. And I don't know what it says, but they'll tell me and I can sign. Or, afilu yochid, kegon Rav Nachman v'safer d'dayna. Rav Nachman used to sign a shtar ma'aseh bezin. He used to sit in bezin all day long, and he used to sign a psak. So he didn't read every time. He relied on the sofer hadayonim. Whenever they had a dintara, and they told the sofer, write that Reuven won the dintara, and Shimon owes him $1,000. Write that Reuven lost the dintara, and he has to pay $1,500 to Shimon. So they told the sofer what to write, and Rav Nachman would not read it. He didn't have time to read everything, so he would sign quickly. So how does he rely on the Safra Dedaina? It's not Shnei Edim Ksheira. You don't have two kosher Edim. So the Gemara says, because the Islahu Emeser, they're scared out of their wits. If Rav Nachman will find out that they had him sign a document that's not authentic, they'll lose their jobs and they'll put him in prison. Rav Nachman was connected with the Reish Galusa. So he's going to find out that someone did the wrong job, so he's going to fire him and put him in jail. So if you have a serious case like that, so then we allow, Rav Nachman is allowed to sign. Wait, so Rav Nachman does sign a get isha. Rav Nachman is signing a shtar ma'aseh bezin. Doesn't Rav Shimon Gamliel say we only allow you to sign even though you didn't read if it's a get isha. And we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The get the get inoshim. Even shurchari avarim don't have the same din as get isha. Shurchari has the same din as sharkal ashtaris. So how come Rav Nachman is allowed to sign? So the Rambam writes, Rav Nachman is a special kula by shtari mais shtar mais abez. Who the Ravid writes? The Rambam, the Ravid, one of them writes. Either Rambam or Ravid. They write, the Ravid writes, that this kula is only by a shtar ma'isa bez. It doesn't apply to any other shtaris. So some Rabbanim write, not so. You got to look over there on Yutes. So when the Rambam quotes that, there is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether that kula, the Dafke Rav Nachman here, like a tiny letter, base, maimini perk chov dalet and malva v'loi v'alocha zayin. So that's a machlekes. I think the Rambam and the Ravid again, Perek Chav Dal in Aloch Zayin and Malva Veloida. Rosh Bezin Shehoyu Yodeh Inyan Hashtar V'Kara Hashtar Lefonav HaSoifa Shelo Ho V'Hu Ma'amin Oso V'Yem Oso Alov HaReza Choysam Al Hashtar Afol Pi Shelo Karei V'Hu Bi'atzmo. Then Sharham Rashaim Lasiskin Ashikarei Ashtar Mila Bimili. You're not allowed to sign a star unless you read it yourself. Special kula that the Rosh Bezdin is allowed to if the Sofer Hadayonim read it and he tells him that's what it says. Special kula only in that case. So the Rabbi writes Shtar Maisa Bezdin. Only a Shtar Maisa Bezdin. So some say that it's a machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi. It's not so clear. It could be that the Rabbi is just explaining the Rambam. Because the Rambam also says, he's quoting from the Gemara. Ein sharham rasham lasis kain. Achikar hei dashtam milu b'milu. So what does it mean? Rav Nachman is signing a ksuba. He's signing a get. No, he's signing a shtam ma'aseh bez. So some say no, that the Rambam disagrees with the writer, and he holds that this kula applies to all shtaris, provided that there's such a situation like a Rosh Bezdin with the sefer. So that's what some say, that the way we have the practice that someone reads the ksuba under the chuppah and everyone's listening when he reads the ksuba. Sometimes the one who reads the ksuba mumbles and nobody hears anything. Or he has a pronunciation that's different from the audience. He has a Galatiana pronunciation and all the people are Americans there, they don't know one word that he's saying. So then it's not going to help. But let's say the one reads the ksuba slowly and everybody hears what it says in the ksuba. So we hear that it says what it's supposed to say. So some say that the Edom are permitted to sign the Ksuba even though they don't read it. If they would sign it after the rabbi reads it under the Ksuba, it would be a little better. But they sign it before the rabbi reads it under the Ksuba. I don't know. The Pashta says that it's not right. The Pashta says the Edom should not sign. So a special kula by a get isha, and it's a special kula by Shtar Maisa Bezin. That's the Gemara later on, Daf Yutes. It's really not right. It's not right to have Edom sign a ksuba unless they read it and they see that it says what it's supposed to say. So the Gemara says this is a din de rabbanon that they don't have in common, that a getish and a shtar shechran don't have in common. What does it mean? Mekar lahem liyochol v'hein chosmim. So Rashi and Tosis have two pshatim. So Tosis says mekar lahem liyochol, if you take a sheet and you make a stencil of letters out of it. Let's say the Edom's name is Yosef ben Eliyahu. So you make a stencil Yosef ben Eliyahu. And it's going to be big letters. So the aid, when he signs, doesn't fill in exactly the stencil. Then it's not going to be his unique handwriting. So he fills in, Tyson says, he fills in the middle of the whole space. Above is a wide space, a yud. Every letter is big, so he fills in part of it. That's how Tyson learns. You give him a stencil, and he fills in part of the empty space. That's what Tyson quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's the Dibra Mascha, Makar Lahem, the Yorcholov, the last six lines in the Tyson. But Rashi does not learn like that. How does Rashi say? You have the get. The get is written on a thick piece of paper. In the days of the Gemara, they used to write the get on a piece of parchment. And then in later generations, the Jews couldn't afford the parchment. They lost all their wealth and they couldn't afford it, so they started writing get on paper. So even after Chazar of the Hashiru, after they picked themselves up and they made more money, so they made a takana that you should never write a get on parchment anymore. Kadesh lo hotzi lazal gitna rishayim. That no one should cast aspersions on the Gittin that were written during that period of time in history that they couldn't afford to write on parchment. He wrote on paper. So people, if you'll start to write on parchment now, someone's going to say that those Gittin were no good. So that's why we're Makbin now. All the Gittin are written on paper. Written on thick paper. Thick paper. So Rashi writes, Mekarlahem Yocholok, you should, with your fingernail, you should make an indentation in the piece of paper. You should scratch out. The aide's name is Yosef ben Elio. Scratch out Yosef ben Elio, and then the aide will give the aide a pen, and he'll fill in the blanks. It's not like Tyson says, you give him a stencil, but you etch out the spelling of the name, and then he's going to write it. So that Tatesis raises the question, is that called Ksav al Gabi Ksav? Ksav doesn't necessarily have to be with ink. Let's say a man gives a get to his wife. He engraves the get. He has a block of wood, or he has a piece of metal, and he carves out a get on the thing. So that's also Chakike. It's also called Ksiva. Chakike is good. The Gemara has a drasha later, V'kasa v'loi v'chokak, v'kasa v'loi sefer krisim. So the Gemara says, but it says the Farish, if you chokek, if you carve out a get, it is good. The Gemara draws a distinction between chok toiches and chok yerechos. If he carves out the letters, indenting, he makes an indentation, so then he did a ksiva. If he carves out in such a way that the letters are standing, so it means he's going to carve around every letter, and maybe the letters are going to be bole. So that's called chok toichos. He carves out, let's say, berivi b'shabbos. The get starts off, the zman is on the first line. It says berivi b'shabbos, today is Wednesday. So if he carves the outside and the inside of the letter base, and then the mele, the base is boleid, so that's not called ksiva. That's a klas of aloi v'chokak, the chok toichos is no good. If you engrave that, the toch of the letter, and the outside part of the letter, and the letter mele is I'm in me'elov, so then you didn't do a ksiva on the letter. But if you do chok yerechos, you engrave, the engraving is indented, the letters are indented, so then it is good. So over here also, the rabbi asked the aide, what's your name? He doesn't have a sign, his name is Yosef ben Elio. So the rabbi is going to make a scratch with his fingernail. So that's chakike. What I'm going to say, it's only called chakike, it's only called ksav, if you made a hole through and through? Not true. If you made an indentation, made a scratch, it's also called a chakike. It's also called, this is chok toiches, it's a good ksiva. So Taisa says, wait a minute, how can Rashi say, mekan lahem yocholov, that with our fingernail we scratch in the letters, and then the aid and fill in the letters, it should be ksav agabi ksav, is no good. The bottom ksav, the Yosef ben Elio, is made by a person whose name is not Yosef ben Elio. Then the aid and write in ink on top of it, how is that good? So that's what Taisa says, no, there's a Gemara later. The Gemara has a whole sugya of ksav agabi ksav. So the Gemara says, if the ksav elyon is superior to the ksav tachton was written in red ink, and the ksav elyon is written in black ink, and black ink is much better than red ink, so then the Gemara says ksav elyon is considered ksav. So over here, the ksav tachton was that the rabbi made an indentation, he indented with his fingernail, he scratched out Yosef ben Elio. Then the aide takes a pen, and he fills in with ink on top. So ink on top of an indentation is certainly, that's avadi good, that's ksav elyon havi ksav. There is a minig that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that you don't write a get with a metal tipped pen. Why not? Because the metal tip of the pen is going to make a chakika, is going to make an indentation. So what's wrong? What's wrong if you have a metal pen? You don't even need any ink. Adirabha, so let it make an indentation. You don't even need any ink. So what's wrong? So the Levush says, no, it says, V'kasav lo sefer kriz, V'kasav alay v'chokak. Mazeh, V'kasav alay v'chokak, the Gemara says, goes on chok toiches. Doesn't go on chok yereches. So there's such a meaning that you don't, there was such a meaning, you don't use a metal-tipped pen for a get, and then they write it in the Hilchas Sefer Torah. You shouldn't write a Sefer Torah with a metal-tipped pen. So some of the Achrayim say it's hogwash, the whole thing is a minig shtus, and you should ignore it. It's ridiculous. And others say, no, but it's a minik, so you should observe. It's all machlekes and acharon, whether it makes sense, it doesn't make sense. Tzvi Yesh has it truly after the Second World War. He says, maybe we should forget all about all these quills and all these the different minhagim. Whether you write this, everybody starts off, you don't write with a metal tipped pen. So some had a minik that you write with a feather, with a notzah shell, with a feather. and others at a minute that you write with a reed, with a wooden piece of different places that have different minhagim. I think usually the Sfardim use reeds, wooden piece of wood, and Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim use a feather. So this radiation, I said, truly, maybe after the Second World War, I forgot already what happened, what changed after the Second World War, I don't remember. But he suggests maybe today we should all forget about all this and just use all the pens have metal tips. So maybe we should use metal tip pens. So many are still afraid to change the minig. Even though Menachem said the whole minig is a minig shtus in the first place. They don't understand what it's all about. Yeah, that's how Rashi writes over here. Misart, then you make a chakike. Then afterwards you have the Edom put in the ink. So what's wrong if the Edom himself uses a pen, or the Sefer himself uses a pen that makes a chakike, makes an indentation simultaneously with writing the ink? So what's wrong? If you would have written Bezachas, that would have been good. So if you write Bevasachas, the Chakika with the ink, why should it be wrong? Okay. So that's the din that they don't have in common. That's the din they don't have in common. What are the dinim that they do have in common? So that's what the Gemara quotes. Four lines from the bottom of Tesam and Aleph. V'shlosh adroch m'shovigit v'nosh m'shokhu yavon. Shovel and Moloch and Maybe, that you have to say before I nechta, before I nechta, and Shliach Loiloch has to say. And also included in that is another din, that the Bezdin will not tie in a mezuyah, just like the Bezdin doesn't tie in a mezuyah if the woman produces a get in Eretz Yisrael. So the Bezdin will not tie in a mezuyah if an Evik 90 produces a Shtar Shechel. Won't tie in a mezuyah. Even though in all other stories we will tie in a mezuyah when it comes to kolat shelo b'fnei habar, but here we won't tie in a mezuyah. So that's counted as one. Shav the malach lemeiv. Then there's another kula, a kusi. What's the story with a kusi? Question number one: are the kusim Jewish? And question number two: are they kosher leidus? Not every Jewish person is kosher leidus. So question number one: are the kusim Jewish? What's the issue? The kusim are all descendants from the original kusim who converted to Judaism, as the story is described in the book of Malachim. So a convert is Jewish. The only question is, a convert only becomes Jewish if there's a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. And here the Tanakh describes the story, there never was any Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs whatsoever. It says, Eloheim hayu ovdim, they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. Nothing changed in their lives. The Gemara talks in the middle of Asecha Shabbos, in Perek Klal Gadol, the Gemara talks about a Gershon is Gar Bein Ulamas. A non-Jew converted in the middle of a goy converted in the presence of three Jewish people, in the middle of a non-Jewish society, and he never heard of the din of Avodah Zarah, and he still continues to worship Avodah Zarah. So he's worshiping Avodah Zarah is b'shogeg, and he's chayv to bring achatos. One who worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg has to bring achatos. So obviously there wasn't a kabbalah sal mitzvahs on Avodah Zarah, yeah, but there was a kabbalah sal mitzvahs on other things. He knows about Shabbos, he knows about Kashrus. They forgot to tell him about Avodah Zarah. And he lives in a non-Jewish society, so he doesn't realize that the Jews don't worship, the Jews don't go to church. So he keeps on going to church, keeps on praying to Yoshkin, he keeps on going to church and so on. So there is such a case. A Jew converted with Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, but they never told him all the whole story. He accepted whatever they told him. So theoretically, there can be such a Gershon is guy who's going to be Avodah Zarah B'shogeg. But the story in Tanakh seems to imply that the Kusim just converted superficially. There was absolutely no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs whatsoever. They just were being attacked by the lions. So to satisfy the lions, they decided that the God of the Jewish people is Elokei Haaretz. He's the God of Eretz Yisrael. So they can't mess around with him, because it's abnormal that lions should come roam around in Eretz Yisrael. The whole thing was abnormal. So they converted to the Jewish religion, so the lions were satisfied. So the lions stopped attacking. So the Gemara, Taisus learns, Taisus in Yibomis, and Daf Chavdala on the base, and Taisus in Sukkah, and Daf Ches on the base, writes the same thing. The original Geirus of the Kusim was meaningless, because there was absolutely no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs whatsoever. They didn't accept anything. So why'd they do it? There was a Geirus Shalai Kalacha, and the lions were satisfied, and they stopped attacking. So what's the room for the Machlekes HaTanaim, whether the Kusim are Jewish or not? So what happened was, in the generation of the Tanaim, they saw that they're observing many of the mitzvahs. So they couldn't figure out what's going on. The original conversion in the days of the Tanakh was not meaningful. So how did it change in the later generation? So some of the Tanaim held that they just hung around the Jews so long, so they picked up the Jewish practices. But the Kusim are still Geri Arayis. They only converted because of the lions, and there never was a Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, so they're simply not Jewish. They're just not Jewish. That was not the accepted opinion. We paskin l'alacha that the kusim are geri emes. How could they be geri emes? The Tosis says, shuv nizgari b'leiv shalim. The original conversion that's described in the book of Malachim was taka gir shaloi k'alacha. There was no kabbalah on mitzvahs. But at some later point in history, apparently, they converted a second time, and that second time was with the kabbalah on mitzvahs. So that's the, it's a historical machlekes. It's not a machlekes in halacha. Everybody agrees that the original conversion was not valid. That was Geri Arayis. They only converted superficially. There never was a Kabbalah on mitzvah. They never observed any mitzvahs. But the Machlekes HaTanaim was, should we assume that historically there must have been a second conversion for this whole community of Kusim, because they are keeping mitzvahs. So half of the Tanaim said no. They never converted again. They just picked up the Minhagim from the Jews. And we assume that there must have been a second conversion where there was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. And then at a later stage, the Gemara says, Reb Meir, the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin says, what's it doing in Chulin? Because the first Mishnah talks about a Kusi Shoshochat. The Gemara interprets that the Mishnah is talking about Kusi Shoshochat. So the Gemara in the context of a Kusi Shoshochat says, Reb Meir sent his students to investigate what's doing with the Kusim. They used to bring Karbonis and Hagrizim. Even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they still bring Karbonis, Erev Pesach. So the Rav Meir asked them to investigate what's going with the Kusim. So they discovered that Ahar Grizim, they're worshipping a Demus Yainam. They're worshipping an idol. I had a pestle there. So Rav Meir said, that's it. We had enough trouble with these Kusim. He declared that the Kusim are ka'akum gemurim l'chol devrim. They have a din like a goy. That's what we mentioned. That's a big machloikis in Rishonim. When Rav Meir made this gzera, that we treat the Kusim as if they're non-Jews, was this only lahachmir? They treat them like a Jew, Zavid Abedizara, Amumal Abedizara, Dina Kakam Lachalat Harakulam. That's Lahachmer, but you can't sell your chametz. Let's say there's a Jew who worships Abedizara. I can't sell my chametz to that person. If he comes for a haircut and I'm the barber, I'm not allowed to shave off his face. If I get non-Jewish customers, I'm permitted to shave off their face. If I have a Jewish customer who's a Kusi, who's a Machal Shabbos, who's an Zavid Abedizara, but he's still Jewish, I'm not allowed to shave off his face. I can't ask him to be my Shabbos guy. So when Rav Meir was geizer that the kusim have the status asom ka'akum gemurim l'chol devrim, it means only lahachmir ka'akum, but lahachmir ki Yisrael. Basically, they're Jewish, but the Jewish and non-Jewish at the same time, so you have to go l'chumra. Or should you say no? When Rav Meir was geizer ka'akum gemurim l'chol devrim means ben l'hakol ben lahachmir. So that's what in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Machlekes HaRishonim, and they quote the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos. In the end, the Maseches Nida says that after Rav Meir was geizer that the kusim are ka'akum gemurim l'chol devrayim, so when a kusi dies, he's no longer metami ba'ohel. Until the days of Rav Meir, the kusim were treated as Jewish, they metami b'magam amasa ba'ohel. And after Rav Meir was geizer aleim, shiyu ka'akum gemurim l'chol devrayim, he's only metami b'magam amasa, not metami ba'ohel. And so the Achreinim said, according to the Rambam, if a kusi is mekadosh and ishev is manazeh, ein choshishim l'kiddushin, ka'akum afil l'hokel. And you're permitted to lend the kusi beribis, and he's allowed to lend you beribis. He's simply not Jewish. So that's a big machlekes. How can you have such a wild shita? That's what the Sridi Yesh asks in the Tshuva. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? You have a right to declare ka'akum gemur l'chol devrim bein l'hakol bein l'achmer. Where does such a thing come from? Once a person is Jewish, doesn't he remain Jewish l'yer l'avoy? So that's what the Sridi Yesh explains. It must be based on the passage in the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Yevamos. One of the end of the first parak in Yevamos has a bit of a discussion of the lost 10 tribes. So one opinion is, in the Amoraim, one opinion is that the lost 10 tribes retained their status as Jewish. We don't know where they are. So it could be that any non-Jew who's Mekadosh, a Jewish girl, it could be that Choshishim L'Kiddushin, Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. Any non-Jew in the world, on any continent, may be a descendant, maybe his mother's 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 mother, all the way back, was from Naseres HaShvatim. So if they're still Jewish, if the Nochri Shekidishi Shebezmanaseh Choshim L'Kiddushin, Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. That's what the first Amora says at the end of the first Perek in Yevamos. And then the Gemara says, we don't accept that lahalach. We paskin based on the pasuk in Treyosa, Bashem Bagodu Kibonim Zorim Yoladu, that they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aseres HaShvatim, and they assimilated among the non-Jews, and they went so far away from mainstream Judaism, they assimilated amongst the goyim, so they lost their status as Jewish people. Bashem Bagodu Kibonim Zorim Yoladu, so the Aseres HaShvatim lost their Kedushas Yisrael. So this Sridi Yesh explains, this is the big machlekes of Rishonim here. We accept La Halacha, that sheet, Azeres HaShvatim lost the din of Kedushas Yisrael. Was that only a Hirasha once in the history of the world, only relating to the Azeres HaShvatim? Or should we say that it relates to any group of people who float away? Not only Azeres HaShvatim is a big group of people, even the Kusim also. A whole group of Jews who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism that their practice doesn't correspond to regular, normal Judaism. So that's what the Rambam holds. That's what the whole group of Rishonim hold. That when they were Gozer, when Rameh saw that the Kusim had floated away so far, so he declared that that Pasuk even applies to the Kusim. And then the third opinion, this really is the Shita Sagaonim. The Gaonim have a famous opinion that a Jew, an individual Jew, not a group, not part of a whole group, an individual Jew who officially converts to another religion loses his Kedushas Yisrael. That the Gaonim were of the opinion that a Mumer ain't a Zekek. These are the Goyim, they had so much pressure from the non-Jews to convert to Christianity. So there was a big shaila. A man is married and he dies and he leaves no children, so his wife needs chalitza. So what if the surviving brother is obviously Jewish, but the surviving brother converted to another religion? He converted to Islam, he converted to Christianity. So do you say he's not Jewish? There is no surviving Jewish brother, he's not Jewish, so you don't need any chalitza. The Yavam is permitted to remarry without any need for chalitza. They say, no, of course he's Jewish, and you have to get him to do the chalitza. So the Goyim were of the opinion that a mumer ain't a zaykik. If the surviving brother is a... So the Chasam Sofer writes in his tshuva, the only time the Goyim said this, that a mumer ain't a zaykik, is not stam that the Jew worships over his own. No, he officially converted out of the Jewish religion. Officially converted to another religion. So then the Goyim are of the opinion that he loses the Kedushas Yisrael. If he'll decide later he wants to become Jewish, so in Yeridei they quote from the Avos de Rav Nosson, then he has to go through a whole conversion process all over again. So the Goyim understood that that passage in the Avos de Rav Nosson is a din deraisa. A Jew converted to another religion becomes not Jewish min haTorah. If he wants to convert back to become Jewish again, he needs a Geiris min haTorah. We usually assume in Shulchan Aruch that that's only Midirabbanan. Because we don't accept this position of the Goyim, that a Mumerain is okay. So that's the Sridi Yesh. Sridi Yesh says that there are three opinions in the Rishonim and in the Gaonim regarding that Pasuk. Vashem Bagodu Kibonim Zorim Yolodu. The original Pasuk in Treyosar is speaking about the lost 10 tribes. Was it a Hirasha once in the history of the world that the lost 10 tribes lost this status of Kedushas Yisrael? But it never repeated itself. There never was another case. Should we assume that the Kusim had the same status as the Aseres HaShvatim? And the Lashon HaGemara is identical. That's the Lashon HaGemara. So it sounds like Bein LaHokol, Bein LaHachma. And the third opinion is that not only by a whole group of people who float away so far from mainstream Judaism, even an individual Jew who converts officially to another religion, so the Goyim were of the opinion that even the individual Jew loses his Kedushas Yisrael.
But the Gemara Yevamos says also in the first shot was the Haldah is over its old. I mean, the Gemara says that the men married wives which were Goyim, so the kids were Goyim, and they asked about the women, so the Haldah is over its old, so they didn't marry.
Right.
So we're saying that Rambam told the shot in the second shot.
Correct. Hashem Bagodov, the Pasuk, that they lost the Kedushas Yisrael.
You know, how could we master class? Isn't it
Yeah, but the Navi says that's the din. The Navi says as a Hirah Asha. The Pashtus says that a Navi is telling a Hirah Asha. So the Pashtus, maybe it only applies to the Aseres HaShvatim, or maybe it applies to any group. But if you say it applies to every Jew who converts out of the religion, so then are you making it more than a Hirah Asha? So then you have a kasha. How can a Navi tell you a din l'doris? He can tell you just a hirasha. So these are the kusim. So what's the story? So we pass in l'alocha. The Rishonim say, this discussion in our daf about the kusim and the Mishnah later about the kusim was before the days of Rav Meir, when Rav Meir was gozalem, shiukak, mugun, l'chol devrayim. So the story is over. All of the kusim have the din like a nachri. There's nothing to discuss. We're talking when it was accepted psak was that the kusim ageri emes, the shubnis gairi b'leif shalom, the kusim must have converted the second time. In addition to that original conversion that they had in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Molochim, There was a second version that was with Kabbalah on mitzvahs, and they had, so they all the kusim are Jewish, but they're not kosher leiders. Why they're not kosher leiders? Because the din is that a rasha is kosher leiders. Altashes yadchem rasha liyaseid chamas. So these kusim, they violate many of the dinim of the Torah. So a din is a rasha. You can be mitzar for rasha to a minion. He's Jewish, but you can't accept eiders from the rasha because a rasha is kosher leiders. Kosher l'shaker. So the kusim, the whole group of the kusim are all hashurim l'shaker. Because they're all rishon, because they violate many of the dini hatur. So here the Mishnah has a kula. If you have a shtar that has two signatures on it, one of the signatures is an eight kusim, the other one is an eight kosher. So you only have eight echad. You can't rely on the eight kusim. With the one exception, with the two exceptions of gittin noshim v'shachruri avodim. That's how the Gemara says towards the bottom of Tesam and Alfi, quoting the Mishnah from later. Kol get sheyesh olav eight kusi pasul. If one of the eightim is a kusi, one of the eightim is a Yisrael chaver. So you only have eight echad. The kusi is pasul. We're talking the kusi is dinik Yisrael, but he's a Russia, because the kusim were in violation of many of the laws of the Torah. Chutz migitinoshim shachuri avadim. Why is that chutz? Why should there be such a din? So the Gemara explains why is chutz migitinoshim shachuri avadim. More explains because we have a takana de rabbanon eidi aget einim chayismin zeh shalom b'fnei zeh on daf yudam and base. On any other star, I write a star that I owe $100,000 to Pliny. So I can come over to you and I'll say, do me a favor to sign the star. The star I'm making a hadas baldin. I say I borrowed $100,000. So you can write chayismin shtar loyva. You weren't there watching the halvah, but you're here when the loyva admits. I'm the loyva. I admit that I owe him money. Fine. So you sign the shtar midas hamischa. So I can ask you to sign separately, and I ask the other guy to sign separately. That's by all other shtaris, except for a get isha and a shichur evit knaini. There, the halacha requires that they have to know each other, and they have to sign zeb ifnei zeb. They have to sign in the presence of each other. Gemara has that that there was a practice Niki Hadas Shabi Rishalayim. The Gemara says in the third parak in Sanhedrin, Niki Hadas Shabi Rishalayim had a practice that they wouldn't sign on a shtar unless they would know who the other aid is going to be. So that's on all other shtars. But by Get Isha and Shtar Sheikh Harvik Nine, it's a real din. It's not Stam Niki Hadas Shabi Rishalayim. It's a real din. The Eidim are not allowed to sign on the Geta, the Shtashir Harik Naini, unless they know who the other one is, and unless they know the other one is also kosher. Why did they invent such a new Chumrah Midrabanah from thin air? Why did they invent such a new Chumrah Midrabanah? So the Gemara says, Exer Mishum Kulchem. What is Exer Mishum Kulchem? Sometimes the husband will say, there's a whole group of people, and he says, I want all of you to write a get for my wife. I want everybody to sign the get. So normally the halacha says if you have two eidim, that's good enough. What do you need more than two eidim? So what happens if there's a baal, the husband says, I only want to give the get if I have all the ten people sitting around. I want all the 10 people, I want all the 5 people. I want all the 3 people to sign the get. So he says, kulchem, so the din is that they all have to sign. If they don't all sign, it'll be possible because they paid the baal. It's like the get is only ala tanai that they're going to do what he wanted. The get has to be given according to the wishes of the husband. Let's say the husband, we told over the story about the Beis HaLevi when he divorced his first wife. So he was telling the Rabbanim who were Masada the get how they should spell his name. So they said, look here, young man, we know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We're going to spell it the way we hold. So they said, you have no right to. I'm the Baal HaShtar. I only authorize the Ksivas HaGet if you spell my name the way I say you have to spell. So they realized this guy knows how to learn. So he started to explain to them, based on the Shulchan Aruch, why they have to spell a name the way he said. That's the din. The get has to be written, midas hamischayv, every shtar has to be written, midas hamischayv. You can't write the shtar unless you listen to the instructions of the person who's supposed to authorize the writing in the shtar. So this din of kulchem applies to any shtar. It applies to a shtar halvoah also. If I say, I want a shtar halvoah that says that I owe $1,000 to the malveh, but I only want it if I'm going to have all 4 people in the room sign. If I'm going to have 2 or 3, I don't want that shtar. So it also won't be any good. So nishgefelo, so the shtar will be puzzled. So it'll turn out someone's going to lose some money. There'll be a mistake. if I get the Isha and Shtich Rabbi Knaini, that those two shtaris affect the change in the area of Isra Heter. So they made a takana de Rabbanan that you should never sign a get the Isha Shtar Shtich Rabbi Knaini unless you know who the other Edom are. They have to all sign Zebifnis and they have to know each other and have to know that they're all kosher. They have to know that they're all kosher ladies. So therefore, the Gemara says, therefore, if you have a get isha or shtashich rabbi knaini that has the first one who signed is a kusi, like Sfardim have separate family names and the kusim have different family names, so you can tell by the signature it's a dead giveaway. This is the family name is one from the kusim. So if the first one assigned is a kusi, the second one assigned is a regular shmolevitz, Yankelevitz, whatever, he has a regular European name. We know he's a regular person. We don't know who he is, but we know he's a regular name. So we assume by the get, they would never sign unless they're following the halacha. We always assume they follow the dinim. So the Yisrael would never have signed second if he didn't know that the kusi signed first. He knows that the kusi is a chaver. Kusi is a religious Jew. So then, the get would be good. By get dishon, shich rabbi knani would be good. So Tosis says, doesn't it turn out, Tosis on Yudam and Beis, Dibra Maskel, Ilav de Kusi Chover Havi, Lavi Machtem Le Mikame. So doesn't it turn out that you machsha the get based on Eid Echot? Because the second signature is a regular Jewish name, a European name, and the first signature is a Pesakusi name, and we're suspecting the Kusi, maybe he's a Balaber, maybe he's Pasolet, maybe he's a Russia. So we say, since the second one who signed has a regular name, he must have ascertained in advance. It cannot be that they signed Zeshalav if he's there. He would only sign if he knows who the other aide is going to be. So it must be he knows the other fellow, he knows that he's a chavis. It doesn't come out. The whole get is relying on a rechad. So Tesla says, no, Mikra din deraisa. Rashi also said the same. Mikra din deraisa. We're not choshed all the kusim that they wrote Bali Aver. We know that a lot of the kusim, less than 50%, a lot of the kusim violate a lot of the laws of the Torah in such a way that it makes them postulators. They don't keep Shabbos 100%, they don't keep Kashrus 100%, they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha 100%. So we know that many of the Kusim do violate it, but it's not that Rove of the Kusim are Bali Aver and they're all Pasolatis Menat Torah. We're Choshed everybody, it's Midirabbanon that we don't accept. So since Menat Torah it's good, and the one who signed second is the Yisrael Chaver, and the din is by Gethisha, they're not allowed to sign unless it's Zeb Ifnei Zeb. So that's why we would assume that it's good. But in all other stories, there is no such a requirement that they have to sign Zeb et Nei Zeb. So then we would say that Kol Shar Shtoris Kol Get Sheyesh Olavei Kusi Pasul Chutz Migitin Nashim Shachri Rabbanim. These are the two exceptions. The reason why these are exceptions to the rule, because we made a Takana de Rabbanim by these two, that ain't Chais Memela Zeb et Nei Zeb. Yeah. What's the other din? Kol Shtoris Olam Akor Shal Nochrim. All Shtoris that are issued by the court, by the non-Jewish court, you can rely on, even though it's signed by Nochrim. Chutz migitei Noshim mishechruri avodim. Yeah, why is that? Because by all the other stories, the Gemara has laid, it's an umder nemuchach. It's an umder nemuchach. How does the Gemara explain on Yudah and Beis? Lav b'marin avshay v'kasvim leishtora. Ilav, how does the Gemara say? If it's not true, ilo yayv zuzi kamayu, if they didn't see the handing over of the money and the kinyan on the field, they would never have written such a shtar that he sold them the field or that he borrowed the money. So we can rely on the shtar of the arkoyis. That's the poskim have a whole machloikis. Can you rely on the arkoyis when the war department sends the woman a letter that her husband was killed in action? So some of the Achrayim want to say it's the same as this din. If not for the fact that they ascertained it 100%, so then they would never have signed such a document on official stationery. The other Achrayim raise an objection. What's the tushtel? This din, that the Kol HaShar Sodom HaKol Shanochem is acceptable. So Tosis writes that it's a takana of the Rabbanim. So we discuss, why is it a takana of Rabbanim? Why isn't it a real din deraisa? If the Gemara says it's an umder nemuchach, Ilo the Ives Zuzikamai, if not for the fact that they saw the Halvor, if not for the fact that they saw that he paid for the real estate, they would never have signed. So why doesn't that make it that it's an umdin and a muchach that it's so? So the answer is, we said, Rav Baruch Ber quotes in the Bir HaShmum, you can make an umdin and a muchach. Let's say Moshe v'Yaharon, the Gemara says in Baba Basin, Moshe v'Yaharon are krovim, so they're posolades. So the Rashash is bothered with the Kashim, Akshim Ho'ilam, but everybody knows that Moshe and Aaron are honest people. The Gemara says, Moshe v'Yaharon are posolades, even though there's no Chashash Meshakeh. Even though there's no Chashash Meshakeh, that's what the Gemara calls Exeris HaMelech. Our Rosh is postulated because of Chashash Meshakeh. But Kraivim is no Chashash Meshakeh, it's what we call Exeris HaKosu, more calls Exeris HaMelech. Kuf Nun Tes, I think someone looked it up. Kuf Nun Tes, someone brought it back. So the Rashash quotes Makshim Ho'ilam, if you have a document that's signed by Moshe V'Aaron, isn't that a strong umdin in the Muchach that he really owes him the money? So you should be Moitzi the Mammon, even though I ain't Hochem the Mammon Acher HaRoi. But if it's such a strong roiv, a document signed by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, isn't that a gevaldige roiv that he owes him the money? So the answer is, that's what the Rashash quotes that Kash. So the answer is, Rav Baruch Ber writes, the Torah gives rules and regulations, so it's kosher leidus. So you cannot construct the Ruba de Leisa Kamon that the story is true. If the Pasuk says in the Torah that the Eidim are Pasul, so you can make all the Yomdir and the Muchach Siwan, it's still not going to be good. So what's over here by the Shtoris Adam HaKosh on Ochrim? We're machshon the shtar based on the numdin and the muchach. So Tei says no, this is only midirabbanan. It doesn't work minatoyra. How does that takana midirabbanan work? If minatoyra, you have no proof that I owe you the money. Minatoyra, you don't have any proof that I owe you the money. You only have proof midirabbanan. You have a shtar hola b'akosh anachim that I owe you money. So what good is a raya midirabbanan? But on the level of the raya, you don't have a right. So the answer is they made a takana midirabbanan hefke bezne hefke. Sure, they have a right to be mafke. So that's what some poskim say, hefke bezne hefke, only works in didi mamanis. How does it work by an eshes ish? The war department sends the woman a letter on the official station that we have ascertained that your husband was killed in action, and he's dead. So how can she rely on that? This din of our koyas is only a takonim de rabbanon. With the umdina, ilav, the avi, zuzi kamay, lahavi marnam shayu, the umdina doesn't make it that the kosheleidis menatah. The umdina makes it that mid the rabbanon you can rely on that. So the Rabbanon only works in Didi Mamad, it's based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. How can it work in Issa Vehetta? That's what many poskim are not happy about, that Hashvor. That the earlier Achrenim wanted to say that just like Shtoros Olam HaKosh HaNochma are good in the area of Didi Mamad, it's good in the area of Issa Vehetta. Just, when was it? Last Sunday, a week and a half ago on Sunday. So there's I have a classmate of mine, is Judge Hornbless. So he comes every Sunday to the Kol Yom Rishon to listen to the shiur. He has off. He doesn't, based on Mishpat, he's a judge. So his court doesn't meet on Sunday. So he comes to learn in the yeshiva. So he gave me a sefer. What did he tell me? One of his sons lives in London, and his son paid for the publication of the sefer, which is a collection of Shabbos and Shuvahs by his great uncle, who was a dying in Warsaw. So he asked me to look through the chulis to give my mevinas. So I started looking on Sunday. Knock out chulis, very good chulis. As I come from all the goyim, Rabbi Nachum Zem and all the tzaddikim from Europe, they all. So he has a chulis about this. So he quotes this dispute that there were those who argued Kol Hashtar Zolam Hakosh Anochem is only good midirabbanan. It's Taisa says it's midirabbanan. It's based on hefke bezne hefke. But if you have to be matam and aguna, that's an isa v'heta. So how can you rely on an umdin over there? That's a very strong argument. So you have to figure out why the other gedolim thought that this takana de rabbanan should carry over to Issa v'Heter also. So the Gemara says the exception to the rule is by kitanoshim shilchuri avarim, it's not going to be good. Why is shtaris adam akos? Why is it no good by kitanoshim shilchuri avarim? So the Gemara says pasha why it's no good. A get has to be written lishma, and if you hold Eidi Chasima Karsi Rab Meir, the Tanakam is Rab Meir. Reb Shimon disagrees. Afelik Sheirim says, "Gemara says you're Reb Shimon. The Shitas is Reb Lozer." The Gemara says on the last three lines on Yudam and Beis, Reb Shimon is Machshush Gitei Noshim Bar Koish Alakim because he holds Edim Misira Karsi. But it's signed by the Goyim, so shouldn't that be a Mizuyif Mitoichai? The Gemara says talking about Sheimus Mufakim Mizuyif Mitoichai Zagzeret Rabban. The Gemara patches up the whole thing. But the Tanakama of Reb Shimon in the Mishnah on that Yudam and Beis is Reb Meir. So a mayor, of course, he's going to say that the gittin that are oila be'akosh and nochem are no good has to be written, they have to have ksiva l'shmon, you have to have edi chasim karsi. So the other chassidim have to be kosher leidus, and they have to sign the shema. So goyim are not good. So that's a davar poshut, that the gittin noshim shechuri avarim hoyle makosh anochim is not acceptable if you hold like Rav Meir. Yeah. What's wrong? What's wrong if a goy signs a get? What's wrong about that? So that's the Mishnah on Yudam Beis, that it's no good. Rav Shimon is machshav because you are Rav Shimon, the shetosus for Rav Loz, you're going to give the get over in the presence of Eidim Mesirik Sherim. But if you hold like Rav Meir, you hold like the Tanakhama, it's no good because Eidich Hasim Akars. So what's wrong? So Taisa says on the top Taisa on Tesam Beis, Dibam Maschal Achalpi, there were four reasons why a get that's signed by Nochrim is not valid. So first of all, Taisa says, if you hold like Rav Meir, that Eidich Hasim Akarsi, So you don't require that the 12 lines of the get should be written l'shma. You just need that the two signatures, lines 13 and 14, the two signatures should sign l'shma. So a goy cannot sign l'shma. That's a gemara later. Akum adaite denafshe ka'ovit. What does that mean? Akum adaite denafshe ka'ovit. It's a funny gemara. Goyim have shvache kef, so they can't concentrate so hard. That's what it means. A goy, why can't he concentrate? Adaita the nafshi kovit. So some rishonim learn it's hard to train a nochri to think lishma. These concepts are so foreign. Why so far? You get a guy who's a judge. You get a guy who's a judge, and you explain to him 1, 2, 3. He's an intelligent man. Went to law school. He became a judge. He can't understand what it means. So we'll see in a minute. So then that's one psul, that the Edom have to sign the Shema. Then Taisa said there's another psul, a guy is posulatus. A guy is always posulatus. How do they know? Even in Evek 9 is posulatus. It says in Bava Kama Daf Peches. How do you know in Evek 9 is posulatus? Because it says in the Parsha of Eidus, it says, V'itztikwas atzarek v'shivas ha-rosh ha-sei. It says in the Parsha, V'hoyo... Sheker on a b'achiv. That's what it says. We ascertain sheker on a b'achiv. So since it says sheker on a b'achiv, he can only accept the edus on a person. What do you mean? He testified against his brother. He not kosher edus against your brother. That's rishon b'rishon. It's not kosher edus. So what does it mean sheker on a b'achiv? So achiv over here doesn't mean a blood relative. Doesn't mean a brother. It means his co-religionist. Achiv hu b'mitzus. The Gemara says that the word achiv excludes Evekanani is chayv in mitzvahs kiisha, but since he's not chayv fully in mitzvahs, so achiv excludes Evekanani. So Tosha says, if achiv excludes Evekanani, it's a chakavachayim that it excludes nachrim. Nachrim are not chayv in any mitzvahs at all. Less mitzvahs than the isha. So for sure, nachri is pasul edus. Then Tosha says, a third reason why the nachri is pasul edus on a get, because ene b'toris get mikidushin. That's what the Gemara says on the bottom of Yudam and Beis. So the Gemara says, well, how can Reb Shimon say that a get isha that's signed by the Arkoes is kosher? The Gemara says, how's that possible? Halab b'nei krisis nino. What do you mean, halab b'nei krisis? Whoever is in a b'toras git mikidushin is posulatus in that area. So Taisus says, on that Gemara, one line Taisus on the bottom, the last Taisus on Yudam and Beis. Why does the Gemara only ask, halab b'nei krisis nino? Have the mots in the mirror for halab b'nei edis nino? The Gemara could have said that goyim are posulatus. That's Tesis Lishitasim, that's what they claim over here on the top Tesis, on Tesis and Beis, that a Nochri is Pasolatus, a Kavachimer from the Avikanaini. Rashi seems not to hold like that. The simple reading of Rashi, both on the bottom of Yudam and Beis, as well as on Tesis and Beis, Rashi sounds like he says what the Sefer HaChachma says. And Hagos Ashri on the side of the Rashi quotes the Sefer HaChachma, one of the Rishonim, that. That a nochri is only pasul eidus in the area of gittin mikidushin, an area where the person has no shaykes with that. One is not betoris gittin mikidushin is pasul eidus in that area. That's how the Gemara says in the end of Bava Basra that a cotton is pasul eidus. So we would have said a cotton is pasul eidus because a la bar das. How can you accept eidus when the person is a la bar das? Has to know what he's talking about. You could have said he's a la baronshin, so say the shat yochel hazima. You could have said a third reason why he's not kosher leidus, because it says the yom d'shnei ha'anoshim asher lahem hariv lefnei Hashem. The Gemara darshins in Shavuos daf lamed d'shnei ha'anoshim elu ha'edim asher lahem hariv elu baledinim lefnei Hashem elu adayonim. So in connection with the edim, it says yom d'shnei ha'anoshim anoshim v'lo k'tanim. So k'tanim are pasul leidus. So we have three good reasons why we pasul Tanum Leidus. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra says a different reason. The Gemara says because the Kotlin is Enge B'Toros, whatever Mekach HaMemkar, whatever you're going to talk about, and the Kotlin is going to sign on a Shtar Mechira. A Kotlin is a Labra Dasa, he's Enge B'Toros Mechira. So whoever is Enge B'Toros Mechira is not Kosher Leidus on a Mechira. The Gemara even at Kedei Kach, the Gemara asked the question, since a Kotlin who yarshins real estate from his father, there's a takana of the Rabbana that any yochel limkor, he can't sell a real estate till he reaches the age of 20, even though he's bar mitzvah already. There's a takana of the Rabbana because we're afraid he's going to lose his pants. He won't know what he's doing. So the Gemara asked the question. So you should say that until a kid reaches the age of 20, so he cannot serve as an aide on a transaction of real estate. The din is not true. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. If he earned his own money, let's say if the little kid sold Kool-Aid, and he made $1 million, and he bought real estate, then he can sell that real estate, even the Rabban. He just can't sell real estate that he yarshin from the father. We're afraid he's going to lose. But if he bought the real estate himself, then he can sell. So he's yeshna b'taris mekach memkran karka. So those are the four. That's what Rabbi Kiveger asks on Baba Kama, Daf Peches. Why do you need four different reasons to pasal a cotton la'edis? A cotton's pasal la'edis because v'yam neshnei ha'nashim ha'nashim v'lektanim. And he's postulated because it's always Eidish Yat Yochel HaHazima, because the Kotlin is Allah Bar Onshin. And he's postulated because Allah Bar Das, Eidim have to be Bnei Das. And then the Imam Bar Basra comes up with this fourth reason why he's postulated, it's Eina B'Toiras. So that's what Tosis points out over here. The Gemara says on Yudah Mebeis, towards the bottom, that Nochrim Areinim B'Toiras Labanei Krisis Nino, Goyim don't have such an institution of Gerishin. What do you mean they don't have Gerishin? Once they get married, they're stuck for life. So that's two opinions in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the goyim don't have a get, like the Bavli says. One version in the Yerushalmi, same thing the Bereishis Rabbah. So one opinion is like the Catholic Church taka, that they can't get divorced. They're stuck for life. Well, unless he shoots his wife. If he shoots his wife, so b'chai misa if he's killing her. But, if the wife shoots the husband. Okay, if the wife shoots the husband, so she'll be an almana then. So she'll be allowed to remarry. But Kozman, the husband, is alive, so there's no get and there's no way to get divorced. And the Rambam writes, the accepted opinion is the lenient opinion in the Yerushalmi, that by Bnei Nech, they don't have an institution of a get, they have Gerishin Balpeh, they don't have to have a Biksav. And either he or she can initiate the divorce. Either he says, I don't want to be married to you anymore, goodbye and good luck, or she says, goodbye and good luck, I don't want to remain married to you. So that's what we usually assume like the Rambam, that by Bnei Nech, there's no labane krisis in it. They don't have an institution of a get, but they do have an institution of divorce. And the Catholic Church has adopted the other position, the more strict position in the Gemara. So this is what Tosis says, that you have four reasons. The Kiveg listed off four reasons why Kotlin is postulated. Here Tosis has four reasons why Chosmei Makom is no good. Number one, if you hold like Rav Meir, the Eid HaChassim have to sign the Shema, so Nochri can never sign the Shema. Is it? Adaita the Nafshi Kovit. Number two, Eina B'Toiros is always Pasolatus. Number three, Goyim are Pasolatus even in an area of Dini Mominus. That's Tosis Machlokes with Rashi. And then number four, Tosis says, that what? You need, Tosis says, a Chiddush. Later on, Tosis has two dais and the gigantic, big fat Tosis on Chabes on the Beis. Where the ksivas aget, when the Baal authorizes ksivas aget, it says in the Chumash, because of law sefer krisis, does mean the husband has the right to get, and if the husband authorizes the sefer, the husband has to appoint the sefer as his shliach. But he's saying, no, the nesinas aget has to be done by the husband, and if the husband doesn't do it in person, he has to appoint the shliach. But for the ksivas aget, he has to authorize the writing, but it's not the vort of shlicha. So those are two days in Tais, major machlekes in Rishon. So our Taisis on the top of Tais and Beis holds not only do you need. Not only do they hold you need shlichas on the ksivas haget, you even need shlichas on the chasimas haget. That's a surprise. You need shlichas on the chasimas haget. The eidim ashlucham of the husband to sign the get. It's a little strange. But that's what Tosafot writes, four reasons why the Tanakama on Yudam and Beis holds that a get, that's because the hoyle bar kosher lakum is puzzle because of these four reasons. Okay, so we have to remember tomorrow. We have to start tomorrow with Reb Chaim in a sefer quotes the Dayan and Briska of Simcha Zelig, who says that Eina B'Toiros is the same as Shalom B'Shalom. So we got to start from there.